Okay, thank you for the introduction. My name is Seth Bird. I'm going to be talking about some work that was done across the Cotton Belt by researchers at several universities on the effect of simulated 2,4-D drift at various growth stages in plant height and yield of cotton. So just to start with a brief introduction to 2,4-D, it's a synthetic auxin herbicide released in the 1940s. It became widely adapted for agricultural use for the control of broadleaf weeds. With the impending release of both 2,4-D and dicamba-resistant cotton and soybean varieties, we're going to see an increase in utilization of these synthetic auxin herbicides, as well as an increase in the interface between tolerant and non-tolerant cotton varieties. So looking at previous work that's been done with 2,4-D, it's known to be very prone to drift, with movement of several kilometers being documented. Cotton is known to be one of the most sensitive crops, if not the most sensitive crop, to 2,4-D exposure. And reports of injury to cotton due to 2,4-D drift have been reported since the release of the herbicide. The magnitude of injury and yield loss on cotton are influenced by two main factors, and that is the rate of 2,4-D that cotton is exposed to and the growth stage of cotton at the time of exposure. So just a few visual examples of what we see with 2,4-D exposure in cotton. On the right-hand side, that's a mild injury. That's some leaf strapping and some mild leaf curling. On the right-hand side, that's a more severe injury. We see complete leaf malformation and pedioepinasty. In some cases, however, we don't see a lot of visual leaf symptoms, but we do see visual symptoms on the reproductive structure. So in this case, there's no real leaf strapping or curling, but we do see those small balls and all the reproductive structures have a desiccated look to them from the 2,4-D exposure. We also see on the left-hand side split terminals, and then on the right-hand side, we see just overall delayed maturity with 2,4-D exposure. So those center two rows were exposed to 2,4-D, and you can see the amount of unopened bulbs there compared to those outer rows of non-treated cotton. So in looking at previous work, we see both height reduction and yield loss have greater severity with 2,4-D exposure in the earlier growth stages. And previous studies report that there's less sensitivity to 2,4-D injury or exposure with later stages in flowering and the bulb stages. So this is a figure taken from a paper by Egan et al. That was published last year. They compiled around 20 studies in the past that looked at cotton and 2,4-D exposure. On the y-axis, that's the yield as a proportion of the control, so non-treated cotton. Across the x-axis is rate of 2,4-D in grams per hectare. They broke it down into four general growth stages, vegetative, squaring, flowering, and bulb. And if you see, starting at about the 1 gram per hectare rate, in moving up, we see a great variability in yield response to cotton at different growth stages from 2,4-D. The two red lines on this graph are just a visual reference. Those are the two rates that were used in this study, and I will cover those in just a second. So the objectives of this study were to determine and quantify the effects of simulated 2,4-D drifts at various rates and growth stages on plant growth and yield of cotton from multiple locations across the cotton belt. We hypothesized that earlier growth stages, those prior to bloom, and higher 2,4-D rates will have a greater detrimental impact on plant height and yield based on results of previous work. We also hypothesized that we could see an influence of growth stage, and that could vary across locations depending on that particular environment or season longevity. So in 2013, the study was conducted at two sites in Georgia. In 2014, we expanded it to cover sites in Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, and two locations in Texas. We had two treatments that represented fractions of a full rate of 2,4-D, and in this study we used 2,4-D amine in our applications. Our first rate was 0.002 kilograms of AI per hectare, or we refer to this as a low rate. And we also had a rate of 0.04 kilograms of AI per hectare, which we refer to as a high rate. Our low rate, we wanted to see some visual injury, some mild injury, but maybe not cause a lot of yield loss. And with our higher rate, we wanted to definitely see some stronger injury on the cotton. We had six growth stages that we applied 2,4-D simulated drift rates at. These were at 4-leaf, 9-leaf, first bloom, and then 2, 4, and 6 weeks after first bloom. So the study was laid out in a randomized complete block design with four replications. Applications were made with a backpack sprayer, a CO2 pressurized backpack sprayer. The cultivar Phytogen 499 was used throughout the study. Plant height was collected every 2 weeks, beginning at 9 leaf, and then seed cotton yield was collected at harvest. So looking at the results of plant height first, we didn't see a clear trend with plant height. In other words, there was no pattern looking at treatments that caused yield loss and treatments that caused a plant height reduction. And in fact, in multiple cases, we saw treatments that showed no effect on plant height result in a yield reduction. We think this may be due to the fact that it's known that fruit retention is a very good plant growth regulator. So the more bulbs that plant retains, the less energy it has to put into vegetative growth because it's using all of its energy to fill the bulbs. However, when we see cases like pictured here where we have those desiccated fruiting structures, it's going to shed some of those fruiting structures. It's not going to have as many big of a bulb on the plant, so it's going to have more energy available to put towards vegetative growth, producing a taller plant, but perhaps one with a lot less bulbs present. So moving on to the yield data, I'm going to set the graph up because all our yield graphs are the same. So going down the y-axis here is our seed cotton yield in kilograms per hectare. When we look across the x-axis, those are our different growth stage treatments. Now starting on the far left, this green bar is our non-treated control. And then we have our four-leaf, nine-leaf, and so on, all the growth stages going across the x-axis. At each growth stage, we have two rates represented. The blue bar represents the yield of the low rate. The red bar represents the yield of the high rate. So in Tifton, Georgia, in 2013, we saw a significant yield loss from the high-rated 2,4-D at all growth stages except for the 6 weeks after first bloom growth stage, with the most severe yield loss occurring at first bloom and 2 weeks after first bloom. In Moultrie, Georgia, in 2013, we again saw the high rate lead to yield loss at all growth stages except for the 6 weeks after first bloom treatment, with the most severe yield loss occurring at the nine-leaf stage. And we also saw the low rate treatment lead to yield loss at the nine-leaf, first bloom, and 2 weeks after first bloom growth stages. Moving on to 2014 in Tifton, Georgia, we saw again the high rate lead to yield loss at all growth stages except for the 6 weeks after first bloom, with the most severe yield loss occurring at first bloom. In Florida in 2014, we saw the high rate, again, the same pattern, lead to yield loss in all growth stages except for the 6 weeks after first bloom, with the most severe yield loss occurring at first bloom and 2 weeks after first bloom. And we also saw the low rate of 2,4-D result in yield loss at the first bloom growth stage. In Mississippi in 2014, we saw the high rate of 2,4-D result in yield loss at the nine-leaf first bloom and 2 weeks after first bloom growth stage, with our most severe yield loss occurring at the 2 weeks after first bloom growth stage. In Missouri in 2014, we observed yield loss from the high rate of 2,4-D at the four-leaf, nine-leaf, first bloom, and first bloom plus two-week growth stage, with the four-leaf, nine-leaf, and first bloom stages having the most severe yield loss. And we also saw yield loss at the low rate in the nine-leaf and the first bloom growth stage. In North Carolina in 2014, we had significant yield loss at every single treatment except for the low rate at the four-leaf growth stage. We had our most severe yield loss in North Carolina with the high rate at first bloom. In Lubbock, Texas, we saw yield loss with a high rate at the four-leaf and nine-leaf growth stages. And then finally, in College Station, Texas, we saw a yield loss at every growth stage with the high rate treatment, with the most severe yield loss occurring with the high rate at first bloom. So just to summarize, across all of our trials and locations through the 2 years of this study, we had 108 growth stage and 2,4-D rate combinations. Of these 108 combinations, 51% of the time we saw no yield loss. In 38% of the time, we saw a yield loss resulting from the high rate of 2,4-D. And in 11% of the time, or cases, we saw yield loss resulting from the low rate of 2,4-D. Now, when we move on to just those cases in which we saw a yield loss, there were 53 instances in which treatments resulted in a yield loss compared to non-treated cotton. 77% of those cases were due to the high rate. 23% were due to the low rate. Now, moving on, look at the frequency of treatments. Moving down our y-axis here, we again have those growth stages, so the four-leaf, nine-leaf, first bloom, 2, 4, and 6 weeks after first bloom. At each growth stage, we again have those two bars, the blue bar representing the low rate, the red bar representing the high rate. Across the x-axis, we have the number of trials in which we saw a significant yield loss from each treatment. So there were 9 total trials or site years in this study. So the high rate at nine-leaf resulted in a yield loss at every single location in this study or every single site year of this study. The high rate at four-leaf, first bloom, and 2 weeks after first bloom resulted in a yield loss at 8 out of our 9 locations. Now, when we change that to looking at average reduction in seed cotton yield, so this graph is showing when each treatment was significant, the average yield loss compared to non-treated pooled across all locations. So in this case, our high rate at full bloom led to over 3,000 kilogram per hectare yield loss averaged across those 8 locations in which it was significant. This was followed by the 2 week after first bloom, 2 week after first bloom high rate, the high rate at nine leaf, and then the low rate at first bloom. So again, looking at what causes these yield loss, what's driving the yield loss, on the left-hand side, that's the high rate at first bloom. On the right-hand side, that's the high rate at first bloom plus 2 weeks. So again, compared to those outer rows of cotton, those center two rows have a lot more closed bulbs, delayed maturity, and that's again present in this picture. On the left-hand side, we're looking at non-treated cotton. On the right-hand side, that's the first bloom high rate treatment. So again, a decrease in the amount of open bulbs at the time we go to harvest. So there were a lot of different ways to look at the data from all these locations, but one thing we wanted to do was look at the effect of yield environment. And what we mean by yield environment in this case is what was the yield of the non-treated cotton at each location. So there are 9 points in each of these graphs. Those 9 points represent the non-treated yield at each location. So first, start off in the top left here. This is looking at the frequency of significant yield loss as related to the yield environment. So how many treatments at each location led to significant yield loss? So we didn't see a really high correlation in this case with yield environment, R-squared 0.275. So not a good relationship between yield environment and the number of treatments that we saw significant. Moving to the top right, this is the average significant yield loss by yield environment. So this is taken at each location, the average yield loss from all significant treatments at that location. So a slightly higher correlation, but still not a great one here, R-squared 0.547. So we don't see a great relationship between average yield loss and then the yield environment. A similar graph is down here in the bottom left. So this is the range of significant yield loss by yield environment. So just that range at each location of yield losses that we saw. Again, R-squared 0.518, so it's not a great correlation. But these two, the range and the average, may have some influence from the yield environment. So we have higher yield environments, we have more yield to lose, or we could see a higher potential range of yield to lose. So to take out some of that influence, we looked at the percent of yield loss by yield environment. So this is the percent of the yield we saw in the treatments that had a significant yield loss, the percent of that of the non-treated. So we see here that in our lower yielding environments, that top dot there, we're seeing percent yield losses of upwards of over 70% of yield loss in lower yielding environments, with that percent yield loss declining as we get into higher yielding environments. So in conclusion, we saw the high rate treatment lead to the majority of instances of yield loss. So 77% of the time that we had a treatment that resulted in yield loss, it was a high rate treatment. That's something we probably could have predicted, and based on prior results, this matches a lot of the previous results. A higher rate, the more severe your injury or yield loss. We also saw that growth stages near to first bloom were more sensitive to simulated 2,4-D applications in terms of the amount of yield loss compared to non-treated. This is a little bit of contrast to what we saw with prior work, where they document that the earlier growth stages are more sensitive to yield loss. We also saw that the percent of non-treated yield lost by 2,4-D treatments was related to the yield environment. So in other words, in those lower yielding environments, again, we saw a greater percent yield loss with lower yielding environments, with that percent yield loss declining as we got into higher yielding environments. So looking at potential areas of future research, extending the present study to cover additional rates and expanding it to additional years. Also the inclusion of dicamba. This is another technology that's impending release in cotton. And then further examination of the yield environments, looking at short versus long season environments, and then low versus high yield potential environments. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge all the co-authors and cooperators at each location. They did the majority of this work, and I just got the pleasure to talk about it today. I'd like to thank all my co-workers at UGA for the help with the data collection. I'd like to thank our farm managers at the Georgia Farms for their help in the management of this project over the 2 years. And I'd especially like to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission for their support and funding of this project and all the work we do at UGA Cotton Extension. This is a list of some of the literature that was cited in the talk. And with that, I appreciate your attention and time, and if we have time for any questions, I'll be glad to take them.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes for questions.
Was the harvest date the same for all treatments?
It was. Yes, it was. So was the harvest date the same across all treatments? And it was.
So do
we see bowl opening after harvest? We generally mowed the fields down pretty close to after harvest. I see what you're saying. If we waited, would we see some of those delayed maturity bowls open? And that may be something to look at in the future to see how much the delay is.
What was it about the loving environment that showed you the difference between
So what about Lubbock skewed those results kind of to the earlier stages? My guess would be that it's an earlier maturing, shorter season environment, so that may be the case there. I'm not really, really familiar with the cotton environment in Lubbock, but that would be my guess. That would be an earlier maturing environment.
We got time for one more question. Good. Thanks. Yep.